Welcome to Take 10 with Infection Control, a series of casual conversations on topics of interest to the healthcare community.
Hi, everybody. My name is Julie Marshall. I'm a nurse educator, and I'm here with Dr. Shiley.
Hey, Julie. I'm Kevin Shiley. I'm an infectious disease doctor, and I work with Catholic Health Prevention and Control.
So we said there was two device-associated infections that you like to talk about. So what was the second one?
The other one is also really important for healthcare, and these are vascular catheters. We talked about urinary catheters, catheters that go in the bladder, but there's also catheters that go into the blood vessels, and there's two big groups of those. The first group are peripheral IVs. So these are simple peripheral IVs that go into patients' arms, usually, and these can become infected. So we talk about vascular catheter infections usually as bloodstream infections. So a vascular catheter infection is really a bloodstream infection that develops because bacteria enter the vascular device, whether it be a peripheral IV or another situation is a central line. So these are really, really significant infections. Thankfully, not very common, but when they do occur, they can be immediately life-threatening and very costly to the patient.
Are they avoidable?
Yes. There is a huge body of research and experience now showing that the vast, vast majority of vascular line infections, particularly central line infections, are avoidable by using appropriate prevention techniques.
So what types of prevention techniques would you suggest using?
All right. Well, for peripheral IVs, one really big thing that we recommend is to avoid the antecubital location. Now, I realize this isn't always possible, but the antecubital location is incredibly high risk compared to other locations on the arm for developing phlebitis as well as peripheral IV infections. Another thing that we need to do is monitor for phlebitis. So when people have a peripheral IV in place, it's really, really important that the staff monitor closely the site at the insertion for tenderness and redness, and I believe we even have a phlebitis scale in our nursing report and records for this purpose. Even if it's a chemical phlebitis, for example, they got some potassium or an antibiotic that caused irritation of the vein, that isn't necessarily an infection. However, it puts the vein at increased risk for infection by clotting and puts them at high risk for bloodstream infection subsequently. If you see a peripheral IV that looks, quote, bad, and I would describe that as extremely tender, a lot of redness and swelling around the site, those lines need to be removed immediately. You cannot wait another shift or another day and keep them in. They need to be removed as soon as possible to prevent subsequent infection. There's some other things you can do as well. Certainly, before you place a peripheral IV, you should wash your hands and wear gloves so you do not get contaminated with blood while you're placing the IV. We have peripheral IV placement kits in all of our facilities, so these contain the proper dressing and the proper materials for placing the IV so you're not kind of cutting corners and missing certain things like the skin antisepsis before you place the IV. And also, I just remind you that for peripheral IVs, they can only stay in for 4 days. So if you find an IV that's been in for longer than 4 days, that needs to be removed.
So those were peripheral IVs, and then the central lines. We have alerts that come up on SORI and when they're in. The providers also get those alerts, but for nurses, the alerts show up as well to remind the nurse that, yes, this needs to be assessed as well. If it isn't assessed by the provider, they need to remind the provider to either decide whether this is something that they need, or again, if the nurse doesn't think that it's something that's needed anymore, or why do we still have this in, the nurse can then take it upon themselves to address it with the provider and see if we can, or if they can get discontinue that. But to decrease the line infections, can you tell us a little bit about the bundle?
Sure. So I think your point, though, is really important. I think we brought this up earlier when we were talking about urinary catheters. The best way to prevent a device infection is to not have it in. And so for central lines in particular, there are a lot of patients that have central lines that may not really meet necessarily the appropriate indications for one. So I think it's important to kind of talk about some of those indications. One indication for a central line is for hemodynamic monitoring, particularly in the critical care environment. Another one might be the use of TPN, or another one may be for prolonged antibiotics, usually greater than 4 weeks. And then the last time when you potentially put in a central line is if you have a patient that really can't get any other vascular access just due to trouble getting a peripheral IV, although we even have alternatives for that now. So the line placement bundle, outside of all of those indications, involves using aseptic technique, which is almost surgical in nature, for the placement of the central line. So when a central line is placed in a patient room, for example, a sign is put on the door saying do not enter. There's a procedure in process. There's a whole checklist that needs to be followed. The provider that puts the line in has to drape that patient from head to toe. The skin has to be cleansed with chlorhexidine alcohol and allowed to dry appropriately. And the provider placing the line, as well as any assistants, need to be in full sterile gown and glove and hat to prevent transmission during the procedure. In terms of care of the line, the devices themselves have special dressings that are placed, and those dressings are changed every 7 days for central lines. Though, if there's any evidence of like soiling of the line of the dressing, they may need to be changed earlier. There's also these little discs that you sometimes see around the skin entry site called a I can't remember what are those things called. Those things you put around
biopatch.
That's right. So there's a biopatches you put in, and these are actually little sponges that secrete an antiseptic to help prevent infections getting in through the skin entry site. And then, you know, one of the things that sometimes gets overlooked but is so crucial for transmission prevention is what we call scrubbing the hub. So anytime someone accesses a central line to inject a medication or do anything else in terms of flushing, that hub needs to be scrubbed at least with an alcohol swab for a minimum of 15 seconds to prevent contamination as you're injecting or removing fluids from the line.
We also have those green caps.
Oh, yeah, the green caps, yeah. So for central lines, if you're not using the hub, we have these little green caps that you screw on. And inside each one of those caps is a little alcohol sponge that helps kind of scrub the hub for you. Those absolutely should be placed on the hubs of any central line that aren't in use. But I do want to remind people it's important that they scrub the hub after even removing those, just because it's kind of a backup, so to speak. In the off chance that someone inadvertently put the old cap on the hub, and they forgot to put a new cap on, because it really should be a new cap every time it is taken off. So we always do recommend scrubbing the hub with alcohol, no matter what.
And the dressing changes are every 7 days.
Yeah, 7 days, though, again, if you walk in there and it's day two and it's peeling off and soiled, then it needs to be changed immediately.
Changed and not fixed.
Changed and not fixed. That's correct.
I think a lot of times we do things in a hurry, forgetting that that line is directly into the patient's central, like the heart, and it's really dangerous for them. So as nurses, they need to make sure they're changing it as frequently as it needs to be changed, or at least every 7 days. All right. Well, thank you for discussing all of these high-risk infections.
No problem. Thank you.